So good morning, everyone. Go Giants, of course. stay out of sight tomorrow morning, tomorrow midday. It's going to be crazy. We designed an intervention to try to educate and promote screening among low-income, low-literacy populations. But let me tell you, let me go through it. No disclosures. This is our team. I had a superb set of researchers working with us. Marilyn Winkleby, epidemiologist at Stanford. Susan Stewart, a biostatistician, no longer at UCSF. She's now at Davis. Maria Fernandez is a cancer intervention researcher in Houston at UT Health Science Center. And Renee is here at UCSF. He's a, I was going to say gynecologist. You know what I mean. let me move on. Healthy People 2020 is targeting an increase of about 10% for the white population. We're at about 60 for whites. We're going to about 70.5. And the challenge is greater as you go across the spectrum there. Over the last 20 years, when we look at screening, at net gains in terms of screening, we find nominal gains except for the API population, and we find that Latinos have the lowest gains altogether. So we're focusing on Latinos for this intervention. again, Latinos have the lowest. Oops, I hit the wrong button. My apologies. There we go. So when you're dealing with any multicultural intervention, of course, the issues of knowledge, misconceptions, different attitudes, not only personal, but cultural attitudes, and issues of language literacy and health literacy. We set out to develop a culturally and linguistically appropriate intervention. We were targeting low-income, low-literacy men and women, and we used a technology platform. We used a touchscreen kiosk. We thought, after considerable thought, that that was the best way to try to communicate with that population. The reasons for that is because you can individualize the intervention. It's self-paced, and the research on adult learning, you may know already, suggests that if you let the individual control the pace and the direction of learning, that the learning sticks. It works better. And of course, touchscreen, you know, we were using touchscreens before Apple started using them on their phones and iPads and so forth, but it's a very powerful way to just move around and select your information. Of course, we tailored the information based on gender and age, and we used a lot of interactive multimedia elements to engage the learners. That's just all the package. It's different modules, sub-modules. The print module is an interesting one. We've done other interventions. We felt that when people are looking at the kiosk, when they're interested and motivated, we want to give them an opportunity to select a button on screen, essentially, a virtual button. They touch it, they print out a sheet, and they take it to the front desk, and, you know, voila, they're scheduled. So that worked very well. And then we asked them some user satisfaction questions. Oh, man. Okay, here we go again. I was told that this session would have audio connection. Obviously, it doesn't. No, by the time you come back, it'll be. So this is an example of motion graphics. We use motion graphics to actually show individuals, you know, very graphically with a lot of items. That's what a polyp looks like and so forth. I'm sorry that you can't hear the audio because it's very compelling and it works very well. We've tested it over and over again. It just describes the basics of colon cancer, what it is. It takes forever, you know, it can take as long as 20 years. You have no symptoms, therefore you've got to get tested. Yeah, so that's talking about that. I'm going to just move on. I have a lot of video, and it's not going to do as much good. So this is emphasizing the importance of screening. You know, it's the only way you can detect.
Yeah, I hear something. I'm not sure.
Well, okay, I'll try to crank up the volume. It's already at 50, which is max. I'm sorry. So anyway, we just walk them through the basics of colorectal cancer. Then we move on and we have a doctor talking to them about risk factors. That's all evidence-based. But it's a one-on-one kind of relationship where the doctor is talking to you, telling you. Okay, so the majority of folks that get colorectal cancer not necessarily have family factors and so forth. Okay. We found out that some bits of information are more effective if you have a start out with the image, then you go to bullets, to text, voiceover, and then you come back and so forth. It's very engaging. The information sticks. We tested all of the different elements and worked really well. I'm going to just move on because this is not very. Oh, can you get his audio?
Yeah.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Can I bring it back a little bit?
We can just take it from here.
Well, I want to make sure it's working.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. Let me go to the next slide.
It's the laptop.
Sorry.
Should go to 100.
Oh, no.
Yeah, let me see if I get the laptop person. It's
okay, well, we're dead.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
If you unplug it.
Well, I can hear it.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Well, it is.
No. Give me a minute.
It works, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I have to apologize. I went to Ready Room and I asked them, and they said, yeah, they'll be on your room. So anyway, this is another example. We do a lot of behavioral modeling, where here they're talking about a situation where the woman's sister's best friend died of colorectal cancer. And the point that they're making is, look, we didn't know about it, we didn't think about it, and regrettably, now we know about it, you know, because of the situation. The behavioral modeling that we do is based on our formative research. These are real cases, real situations that we learn from individuals that exist, and they resonate very well with our audience. This is a male, mid-50s, who was diagnosed with advanced colorectal cancer. We hear about women, you know, being caretakers of the family, devote themselves, they don't get screened because they're too busy taking care of kids or husbands and so forth. We found a similar phenomena, at least for the group of Latino males we were working with, low-income, low-risk males. They're out there working a couple of jobs, and they're trying to be, you know, good husbands, good, you know, breadwinners for the family. And in his case, he was too busy. He knew he had to get screened after 50, but didn't. And then by the time he's full of remorse, saying, what was I thinking? Why didn't I just take the time so I would be around? And we use a visual device where he's talking. The voiceover says, if I had done it, I would still be around for my family. And then the image disappears and just the voice is all you hear. And it's very impactful. There it is. So that makes the point very clearly. And you've got to take a little time to get screened. And we found in our post that people really got the point. I showed it at the very beginning, the diagram. We did an exit screen where we asked individuals on the kiosk, you know, how did you like this information? Did you understand it? Were you able to get to the information you wanted to with navigation? Do you feel that you learned from it? And the last bar there is, would you like to use this technology to learn about other health information, other chronic illnesses? And the answer was yes. All of them exceed 90%, 92, 96%. So generally there is a strong acceptance of this technology, and actually it goes beyond acceptance, actually favor the technology, prefer the technology. Okay, so we did a randomized clinical trial. You know, all this work takes a lot of effort, a lot of money, a lot of talent, not only in the research side, but the technical and the creative side and all of that. So the important question is, does it work? You do all that work, and is it effective? We powered the study to detect 11% differences between study arms. We had an 83.6% retention rate, so our post-test sample was 594, which is not shabby, 6 months afterwards. These are the outcome measures. The principal measure was, of course, screening behavior. Do they go out and get screened? Knowledge gains, attitude change is important. Self-efficacy, we felt, was important to see how it influenced behavior. This is sort of table one. There are no differences between control and treatment arm. Nothing significant there. We're good. We did a multivariate model looking at differences between the two groups, the two study arms. We found that there were some very strong differences in terms of the treatment and control group, the two study arms, pretest decisional balance, post-test, you know, change in decisional balance, and then having had a previous test of any kind. So we'll see there that if individuals have already had a previous test, they're more receptive, more amenable to taking the information, doing something with it. The clinical location, which has the strongest, well, decisional balance as well, 0.001, is simply two different sites. We had one site in Southern California, one site in Northern California. They're both federally qualified health centers. They both have large samples of Latino men and women that are being served in those, that are low income, being served in those clinics. You'll see that gender, language, education, marital status don't really have any significance. And portion of life in the U.S. Also doesn't either. We found that the mean age was 25 or so. So these are not recent immigrants that just came to the U.S. They've been here a while, raised a family, and so forth. So there you go. Screening behavior, yes, it was effective. Yes, it worked. Control condition at the bottom of that second table. We wanted to find out attribution. To what do you attribute your screening? And we used a CDC brochure called Screen for Life. You may or may not be familiar with it. I have to editorially tell you that it's not in print anymore. They stopped printing the Spanish version of it. So we had to take project money to print it and make it look exactly like the CDC brochure, which they approved. And then we used that. So about a quarter of the individuals that got screened because of the brochure in the control condition. So that means we missed 75% of them. So the brochure is effective, but nominally. Okay. Doctor, healthcare provider of any sort, about a third of the individuals that got screened attributed their screening behavior to a doc. The intervention condition, of course, is a kiosk. And I showed you some of the images of the video. You can hear it. But roughly half of the individuals that got screened in the intervention group attributed specifically to the kiosk intervention. So that's consistent with some of our other work we've done. We did cervical cancer intervention for women, low-income, low-literacy women in federally qualified health centers. And we previously did a breast cancer intervention, and we had similar effect sizes and similar significance levels. This is another way to look at the effect of the intervention. CDC fact sheet, the information sheet, the handout, about 25% of the individuals, 35% for the dogs, and 50% for the kiosks. So it's twice as effective as the brochure or the handout, and significantly more effective than just having a doctor talk to them. If you look at the literature suggests the doctor is a gatekeeper, that you tell them to go get screened. I've talked to a lot of doctors who say that the non-compliance rate of people that get a kit, FIT or FOBT and so forth, is very low. So that concludes my presentation. Thank you very much, and go Giants again.